bastard tummies! I hate them, I hate them!
Okay, well, You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association networks on both two of our West Coast stations, CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We're also joined for our full hour now, which we just moved to July 2nd on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and streaming online at cooperadio.org. Again, this is a great move for all of us. Normally, I work on Fridays, so I don't get a chance to do Co-op Radio on the Friday afternoons from 2 to 2:30, but we are so pleased that we are excited that we're moving on to Sundays from 10 to 11, merging with the full hour show, both on CITR and Co-op Radio. This is pretty exciting news. Hey, Michael?
Yeah, finally we get two one-hour shows. We'll still edit the half-hour show for the NCRA networks for those that they need the half-hour spot.
Exactly.
But to have two definite ones that are going out at the one-hour time. Mm-hmm. The one-hour time gives us a lot more depth into
the full conversation.
The full conversation, yeah. You know, what people are about, what they're doing, mm-hmm. and why they're doing it. It's like sometimes it's not the what, it's the why becomes really important to people, right?
Right. So. And as being said, you have some articles that you have been doing for the past week. Am I right?
Well, of course, everybody knew that I took off, last
fibromyalgia?
Week? Yeah, with fibromyalgia Wellspring.
Right.
And we did the road trip returning to all those cities and everything that put up with us. Mm-hmm. They let us stay. They welcomed us in. And they said that they want to do something to help people with hidden disabilities, chronic pain, chronic fatigue, things like that. Mm-hmm. And some of the places they not only welcomed us back, they actually gave us donations and things like that. But everybody was very warm, welcoming in all the towns that we stopped at. Mm. There was a couple miscommunications.
Right.
hey, that's going to happen,
it's
right?
It's going to happen, yeah, exactly.
yeah. But overall, it was a fun time, and it was good to reconnect with some of those people. Mm-hmm. And some people they asked me to come back and photograph more of their town this time around and everything, and there might be some other organizations that we might be able to bring here on to
the show.
Mm. Yeah,
very interesting. That'd be great.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So all around a really positive trip, right?
Very positive by the sound of it from your voice. So it sounds very interesting. So yeah, so. Yeah, again, you have some clips that are happening.
Let's play this first clip. It is from the town of Lake Country, and the mayor of Lake Country he handed Cheryl Young a check as she was presenting a certificate of thanks to the town. So,
all right, let's play the clip.
Okay.
Two.
And go.
Okay. We'd like to thank you very much. Yes, this is for yourself, for your support. I'm beyond getting that camera to us.
For your support.
Thank you so much.
There's money man over there.
thank you so much, Mayor Bailey. paper. This is wonderful. I appreciate that. It's a donation.
You're welcome.
And this is, oh, just thank you so much to you and the whole community for being there for us. We appreciate that.
Good success for this coming year, this trip.
Yeah.
You have better weather than we have.
Oh, yeah.
All the range to be done.
Yes. Well, we thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, it shows that we actually made, we made it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Awesome.
That's with you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay, so that was the presentation that was on YouTube.
Yeah, that one's on YouTube. If you go to if you search for under channels, just one more step 2016.
Right.
We're still using that as the YouTube handle for the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation.
Okay.
It still works. It's still a Gmail account and everything, right?
Right.
But that was the mayor of the town of Lake Country.
Okay.
They were very warm and inviting, I still have to. They asked that I keep in touch with them with
yes.
what's going on because so. Some of these areas, they want to talk more about
the fibromyalgia.
The lodge she's building. Which is going to be affordable housing for people that have disabilities.
Mm.
For those people who are on like really heavy medications, like pain medications,
yeah,
it's like when you have a toss up, okay, I can go buy food, go buy medication, or pay the rent.
Right.
That's a really tough call, right?
No.
And that's the reason why she's setting up the lodge so that they pay what they can, and it includes their rent for a small room. It's mm-hmm. not anything more than maybe 400 to 800 square feet, but it's warm, it's dry, and they also it's including their food, so they can go buy their medication too.
Right.
And there's going to be some kind of benefit to help people stay on track with their medications because
okay.
it's part of the process when you're talking about certain types of disabilities. Keeping people on track with their medication mm-hmm. is really important.
It is,
you know.
Very.
So, let me see if I can find this other clip here.
Sure.
Let me see. The next clip we'll play is actually the city of Camor, Alberta.
Okay.
Now, Alberta has a different set of ways of handling people with disabilities, how you get paid disability, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different than British Columbia.
Now, Camor is east of Banff, am I right?
It is east. Yeah, I believe it is east of Banff. It's kind of squished between Banff and Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you went from your great walking tour from Langley to Banff a few years back.
That's where we actually, that was our final stop because mm-hmm. The mayor of Camor, which we'll play the clip in a second, we kind of caught him off guard. This is one of the miscommunications.
Several miscommunications.
His admin person just didn't put it on the calendar, and he had several other meetings. So we caught him, and we asked just for 5 minutes.
Okay.
So we could give him the presentation.
Sure.
And everything. So
okay.
That was a pretty interesting day. At first, he was like, oh, my God, what are they asking for? And then we said, no, we want to give you something.
Okay.
And we weren't asking for anything. The whole thing turned around, and this is what you're going to listen to.
All right. Here we go.
We'd like to thank you very much for your support and your beautiful city from our walk to Bath last year. And what we're doing is going to every mayor, every town, and over ratings and so and Save All Foods to thank you very much. So we're presenting you with a thank you. It shows a little thank you from us, and that we made it. That we made it. So this is for you, and you can put it wherever you want. And this is another personal picture that we actually took in front. So,
perfect.
Yeah, we're very thankful. Well, we'll be back and forth from Canmore. It's one of our lovely places. So,
thank you very much for being here, and it's been a pleasure encouraging you on your way.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you're busy, so we appreciate it. We're going to actually, this is our last stop. We can go shopping now.
Go shopping, nice.
I know, right?
That's interesting. That's the city of Canmore.
Yeah, city Canmore. That was our last stop on the road trip.
Right.
You got to hang on that word. Let's go shopping.
Yeah.
We were kind of rushing the whole time, and I had to say a lot of the ladies they just like to go shopping. It's like. Especially the one Heather Jackson is like, she just lives to shop. And the second she said that, she is like, when the camera clicked off, she went running across the street to this quilting crafting shop, and she just started rummaging through stuff.
Oh my goodness.
This is one of the really cool things about the fibromyalgia wellspring.
Yep.
When I first met Heather, she wasn't noticeable.
She wasn't
noticeable at all. Her self-esteem was low, and she was just this massive mop of hair and a really big heart. She does all these crafty things. She makes all these wonderful gift baskets and everything, and she donates them to the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation,
right,
so that they can auction them off as fundraisers. So I took my wife Mary, who's a hairstylist, and she just started cutting people's hair, and we just figured we would donate that. So
right.
People, you feel good when you have a really cool haircut. You feel good about yourself, right?
Right.
So she cut Heather's hair, and all of a sudden it was like, oh. That's Heather. She was like, wow, that's Heather.
Yeah, of course.
And you could see, because Heather, we also affectionately call her Mrs. Claus.
Okay.
And
over Christmas.
Yeah, over Christmas. And she sits and she tells stories to kids in libraries, schools, and things like that as Mrs. Claus. You could see that she was actually Mrs. Claus. She just looks like the classic...
the classic Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus.
Thing. Yeah, okay.
And she actually has become more outspoken about things.
Right.
She, whereas before she wasn't really an active member of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Board.
No.
She became more active in that.
Okay.
It's like her whole personality just started changing when she really started getting really involved with this organization. During the walk last year, she kept saying, oh, my heart's too bad. I can't walk. And she would always go shopping. She would spend hours shopping. Well, what do you have to do when you go shopping? Walk?
Yes, of course.
And she...
Unless you have some sort of mobile situation to do it.
Yeah. You know, like a rolly cart or a motorized wheelchair or something, right? But she didn't have any of that. She didn't even have as much as a walker with her.
Okay.
But she'd walk around shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And she still shops, but she walks on a regular basis. And she's really starting to really come around to watching her medications because she's diabetic as well as fibromyalgia. And I had to attribute a lot of it to Cheryl Young, who worked hard at boosting her self-esteem.
Right.
You know, so a lot to be said about this organization. It isn't just It isn't a charity that just operates on the surface. Mm-hmm. It's a charity that really wants to dig deep into the community and help people. So,
and they've got a website, too. What's the website?
The website is, the elongated one is the...
FibromyalgiaWellspringFoundation.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or if you want to make donations to them, on GoFundMe, there is, they have a GoFundMe account, which is GoFundMe.com/just1moresstep2016.
All right. So wish them luck for everybody here at the Community Living Show, Cheryl Young, and everybody who operates with the fibromyalgia.
Some of the other things I wanted to get out to people to look forward to is NDP. Well, she was an NDP candidate for Surrey Cloverdale.
Yeah, until, Hunt came in?
Yeah, Malvin Hunt was actually the one, he was the incumbent.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won down there. Rebecca Smith is also the director of Surrey Hospice.
Okay.
Now, they have a fundraiser coming up, and we'll probably maybe do some reports from that fundraiser. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beer tasting and spicy food, which it's really cool because it's a play on hospice.
Okay.
Hop spice. I had to admit, I kind of like bubbled over and giggles and I laughed and I said, you guys are serious, right? And she gave a good chuckle. We're trying to work it out so she can come on the show. She's going to bring, while Rebecca really makes things, you know, she directs things and makes things work as a whole.
Right.
She doesn't really have the interaction with the one-on-one interaction with patients and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those who actually need the hospice care.
Right.
So she's trying to arrange it so that that person comes along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we do an interview that way, which is going to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, another one you want to try and get in an interview is one of the candidates for Vancouver Falls Creek who is transgender.
Yes.
You want to try and get them on?
Yes, sure. I want to try to get. I always say her name wrong. I think it's Morgane.
Okay.
Or, I think it is. And, I want to try to get her on. Well, she's a strong person, you know. And it's something that our listeners need to have.
Yeah, even though she lost over to Sam Sullivan over Vancouver Falls Creek, she's still an inspiration for people with transgender and stuff. So,
yeah. And... if we have the opportunity to actually have Sam Sullivan come on, of course, he's also inspirational because he's doing politics from a wheelchair.
Yes, exactly. And then I did an interview with Tim Lewis. That's who it was.
Tim Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was on the Access Television and got a chance to do the. Accessibility and of course the handy data on public transit. So so he too is an inspiration as well. So we'll take a break and we'll come right back with some more information on other issues on disability and mental health and other issues on it. So you're tuning into the Community Living Show. I'm of course Kelly Rayburn along with Michael Ruben Cloggs. You're both on the full hour show on both on CITR 101.9 FM and on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. We will be back in a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
The digital era,
at least, it does nothing for me.
Quinta makes a good point. But let us do something for you. Film projection is a classic. Don't you miss it? Don't you want to learn how to do it so that you can then miss it? Well, good, because the UBC Film Society is starting the 35mm Club. We'll teach you everything you need to know about film projection on a real film projector for just $5. We're hosting workshops every other Thursday from June 1st to August 24th at the Cinematheque Theater so that you can have the experience of a lifetime. Have you already missed a workshop and you've never worked with film before? Who cares? Anyone who wants to be there is totally welcome with any skill level. Check out the UBC Film Society's Facebook page for more info.
All right, so you're tuned into the Community Living Show on both stations, Co-op Radio CFR 100.5 FM, streaming online at co-opradio.org, and we're also on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at citr.ca. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn, along with Mike Kobrubin-Cloggs. How's it going these days?
Well, it's going pretty well. I brought a clip with me from off of YouTube, and it's Surrey RCMP officers taking down a teenage girl at the Newton bus loop.
Okay.
I believe is where this all happened. And
so what's the detail on that?
Well, the thing is it's mistaken identity, one.
Okay.
That these RCMP officers were acting on serving a mental health warrant. And that's their mistaken identity.
Okay.
They thought that this young lady that they tackled to the ground, and for an entire length of the video, we're only going to play maybe a minute of it.
Yeah.
But it's a 4-minute video. For an entire 4 minutes, did we actually see the video?
Mm-hmm.
This young lady has her face down down on the concrete with these two RCMP officers pinning her to the ground.
Right.
While they ask her questions about who she is, right. Because they think that she's somebody that they're supposed to pick up for on because of mental health warrant.
Okay. Just let listeners know that this language is all coarse language. Be warned of the content warning. So just let you know that there is going to be some foul language onto this segment, so be warned.
Very strong language.
All right. Here's the clip.
Fucking putting me under arrest or something, you fucking do, you fucking cunt! Go sit in your fucking car! You have nothing to fucking do, so now you're wasting your fucking spare time to do this shit on me! This is so fucking embarrassing, you fucking cunt! Man, oh my goodness!
Okay,
then you're gonna get fucking super wasted my fucking time!
Alright.
fucking look at all my shit. Just gonna fucking whack you, fucking do all this fucking dumb shit. Fuck you. You fucking white people.
So, boy, I must have seen that's pretty intense on what has happened over there in Newton.
Yeah, that is pretty intense, and I have to question what are there supposed to be sensitivity and training for people with mental disabilities and mm-hmm. mental health.
Right,
and it's like, is that how we're supposed to treat
people, especially with cops that are dealing with those kind of issues? And yeah, it's very hard.
You know, in some respects, you got to feel for the cops too, because they want to make sure that nobody's in
safe.
And they're not in danger, and nobody surrounding them mm-hmm. is in danger. But at the same time, they could have maybe given her a little bit of wiggle room so she could at least sit up to answer some questions, maybe some dignity that way.
Right.
But overall, is like I don't know. I have to say I don't think that it was handled in the best way possible.
Mm. Reminds me of another story in the correction center where a girl, I mean she was close to her 20s or 30s, and I guess it was on the Fifth Estate on CBC at one time, where the sheriffs came over to the cell mm-hmm. and they were obviously, it kind of felt like they were treating her poorly, but eventually she committed suicide in the correctional facilities down there. It was very, very sad, very shocking to most Canadians. Of course, that was on, and of course I saw that on the Fifth Estate, and it was pretty similar to what that kind of an article there on the takedown in Newton. So,
I mean, we have to, I understand you got to keep people safe. The idea is to keep everyone safe so they can't, so she couldn't hurt herself, nor could she hurt the RCMP officers or the guy who's
any
behind the camera, reporting this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's got to be a line of dignity. Mm-hmm. Let her sit up.
Have her say or whatever it is to the police or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like you're talking to just a teenage girl. She's frightened.
Yeah.
The strong language isn't coming from a point of anger. It's coming from she's scared. She doesn't know what the heck's going on. We got to remember that. It's mm-hmm. like, why are you picking this person up? You have to tell them, disclose why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you just can't just tackle somebody and expect everything to be roses.
Yeah, and then I go back to another incident where the RCMP, well, remember the incident at the airport?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. how they, not only they tied him up, they also tasered him to death.
Yeah.
For that matter.
Literally, they did taser him to death, and there was a big
inquiry around
that.
The world.
Yeah.
Just me. It's coverage.
And I don't know in the end if the Canadian government did issue an apology to the Polish government about how they treated one of their nationals, but I don't know,
It's a way of how police deal with these situations, and of course, I'm assuming the one that they had on YouTube. All these things that are on YouTube with that kind of clip, they should be investigating of what, all the main reasons: who, the what, the where, the when, the why. All those questions of those things, and maybe there should be some sort of a higher level to interview the police, for that matter.
Some some watchdog over the police to say, wait, you didn't handle that correctly, or to say, no, what you did was a criminal offense.
Right.
You know, because it seems right now that, to the public with a video like that, mm-hmm. Where the police just take somebody down and then they don't. I think in the end, they did uncover it in the end. Mm.
But it was, you know.
But and they just left her disheveled sitting at the bus loop.
Yeah, and she's more like state of shock.
She's a minor.
In the minor, yes.
Yeah. It's like, where was the parental notification? Mm-hmm. The parents are never notified.
No.
Until they eventually contacted the police to ask them what happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was no notification. Yeah. You know, you pick up a minor, you tackle somebody like that. You want to let the parents know what's going
true.
On.
True. And if you're trying to tackle them, she's probably doesn't even know what's happening. She could have tripped or fall. She could have bumped her head.
Yeah.
For that matter. She could have bumped her whole body for that matter while the police were starting to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like playing a football game and it's, you know.
On the concrete.
On the concrete, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very hard impact on those two police officers that are like, you know, you did this. Bam, get you, you know.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it just seems like we're seeing a lot of this kind of stuff through American cops, too. It just seems sad, for that matter.
Yeah, it is sad, and somebody in the end, these officers have to be held accountable for their actions.
Right.
There should be some kind of public inquiry into this. As far as I know, the young lady's parents, they have taken some kind of legal action, mm-hmm. but they aren't releasing anything to the press at this time about what the final action is actually going to be
right.
against. And I think it's actually going to go against, not against the RCMP, I think it's going to go against the city of Surrey.
True. I'm just wondering if they have some sort of a lawsuit that is happening now.
That could be part of it, some kind of lawsuit with some monetary penalty at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it was my daughter, I don't think that would be enough.
No, it wouldn't be enough. I mean, the video proves something there. But, well, I mean, there should be some sort of kind of a lawsuit. And you were saying about if it was your daughter, it would be something.
Well, yeah, more than just some kind of monetary penalty. Mm-hmm. I want to see some kind of physical reprimand given to mm-hmm. these two officers.
Yeah.
That even if they're pulled off the streets so that they're retrained on how to handle a mental health situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, but it all comes to down is it's depending on both sides of the story.
Yeah.
Both the police officer and the teenage girl mm-hmm. as well. So either one of those should have some sort of a side of a story for that mm-hmm. matter. All right. of course, you're tuning to the Community Living Show. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn, along with Michael Rubin. Any other stories you want to follow on?
I know that that over the weekend they had International Yoga Day.
Yoga Day.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have any video clips with me. But
hope it's not under the Burrard Street Bridge again.
No, it was in the elementary school in the Green Timbers.
Okay.
It was actually overall it was a really nice day, to do yoga.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that yoga is more than just an exercise system. Mm-hmm. It's more than a physical exercise system. It is a spiritual exercise system also. Mm-hmm. It helps you cleanse your spirit, cleanse mm-hmm. your mind,
right?
As well as, you know, there's the physical activity to it.
Okay.
But it's something that brings you back as a whole person. Mm-hmm. And that's what yoga is really about, is connecting all of your mind, body, and spirit together,
right,
and connecting you and grounding you back to the universe. And so that it's like the simple things is like that you're one with the planet, the sun, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So, and
is there a website for it?
You know what? I'm gonna try to report back with the website for that.
I mean,
the Swami was and everything.
Yeah, and like you said, yoga has different types of levels of exercise performance and through your mind, through your health, through everything.
You know, the two that were leading it. They were both of two different body types,
mm-hmm.
And it was amazing that how bendy they were and everything. Mm. But it was more; it wasn't so much there was physical training to it, mm-hmm. because your mind is making your body do these things,
mm-hmm.
so. Over time, I guess there is some physical aspects to it, that their muscles are used to doing things, but there's also, more importantly, it was a mental aspect to it, that yes, I can do it. Okay. And it's just something really important, you know.
Right.
The yes, I can do something. Yes. Not
exactly.
It's not about what I can't do. It's more about what you can do, right? Mm. Sort of a message, and that's also part of what yoga is all about. Right. It's about what you can do, and
the physical.
And let's forget about what you can't do. Let's focus on what you can do.
Right.
Sort of thing.
I'm going to take a break now, and we'll come back with some more final thoughts on the Community Living Show. You are tuned in to Community Living Show. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin Cloggs. And, we'll talk some more on any other topics before the top of the hour. So stay tuned. We will be back in a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you are now rocking with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Bells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, it's Iron Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man. Turn up, turn up, turn up.
You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. both of our Vancouver stations on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, the full hour now. And we've moved over to July 2nd from 10 o'clock in the morning to 11. And we're also on CITR 101.9 FM, and we're also streaming online at CITR.ca. And of course, we moved our show from Thursday mornings to Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. I'm, of course, Kelly. Along with me is Michael. And I haven't really talked about the situation on the Disability Pride and what was happening on the front where everybody was over in Richmond on Thursday, June 15th. And it was, I mean, it was very interesting to meet the people there. And, of course, yeah. I met some of the people that were at People's First as well. I thought I had an article on the summary. I thought I had a video on there on the summary. But if you can get a chance, check them out, disabilitypride.ca. There you can find some other sorts of stuff. Of course, the march that we went from Richmond Cultural Center Plaza to the Breakhouse Park, which was right at the end, where we had some free pancakes and some free juice. I think it was some orange juice or apple juice, one or the other. I can't remember. But it was one of those juice stands that they... no, it was lemonade. So they had free lemonade stand there. So, yeah, so it was a lot of fun. But it was, you know, the weather was kind of cloudy and it was pretty drizzly during that time of the day. So it was pretty interesting to see.
So we had typical Vancouver weather for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pretty much your typical weather. So we had close to 1,000 people that went through. And
that's a pretty good march, though.
Yeah, it was a pretty good march. Break Hills Park, for that matter, seemed pretty cramped because once everybody arrived at the Break Hills Park and where we went for the spot, it felt like we were all crammed up together.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It looks like a fairly substantial walk depending on how people need to get around too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hoping they'll have some photos of the walk on disabilitypride.ca. I didn't see any photos on it, but I'm hoping that maybe Amy will have some photos. I've got some I don't know. No, my photos weren't working. I tried to do some photos for it, but for some reason my phone went dead. It just didn't say you cannot add any photos because you have enough memory for it. No.
Yeah. Well, I had the same situation happen. Yeah. When I finally do actually post the pictures from and some of the video clips from the International Yoga Day, the reason why the clips end and the photos stop is because the camera ran out of the memory card was full, so. Hey, it happens, you know. Considering that out of my camera, I get I loaded in a 16 gigabyte card in it,
right.
and I filled it. So it was a pretty exciting event for you.
It was very exciting. I mean, I only went there for the march, and then, you know, got the free pancakes and the lemonade and just hung around for a few moments, and that was pretty much it for me, so.
Okay, there's a joke in there somewhere. Did you sip the lemonade? You know what? But that's something that a pride march of any kind, saying that you're proud of who you are, that's a good lemonade to sip.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Very interesting. What else has been going on besides my march?
Of course, we're getting closer and closer to actually having some new studios for Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why I'm running around town with the camera shooting all the different things are that we might be able to use those as clips for of course, Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
My personal project, the Balanced Living show, would be the talk show and everything, that I need to meet with the folks at the Prince Tafari Center.
Right.
And I had to say that it was actually Edison from the Prince Tafari Center. He's the director over there.
Mm-hmm.
That he's the one who shared the video of the teenage young lady with the RCMP officers.
Okay.
He's the one who gave me that. He he is an activist for
right.
For rights.
Yes.
For everybody.
Yeah.
That we all should be treated equally. And that's what the Prince Tafari Center is about.
Mm, maybe he should be a cop watch too.
Yeah.
So, you know, all sorts of articles on mm-hmm. police and, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And so just a thought there.
Yeah. It was actually at the Prince Tafari Center that I met Anna David. And Anna David is the director and main fundraiser for the One Love West Coast Music Festival,
mm-hmm.
Which is happening this August.
Okay.
You should be able to find tickets for that on sale right now. I know up until the end of this weekend, they're going to be $10.
Okay.
So I will get Anna to post on our Facebook page
okay.
more information about how to get those tickets. It should be an exciting time. It starts at the Rickshaw Theater, and then it will be at the, I want to say Swan Lake, but that's not right, in arena in Burnaby.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to get you the correct information for
okay.
that. But the first Rickshaw Theater is going to be really concert-like. There's going to be some pretty big names.
Mm.
I'll get Anna to share those names again on our Facebook page.
Okay.
But and then the next to the Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be like open-air festival mm-hmm. with some market. Food. Hey, if you
wow.
like Latino and Jamaican food,
right?
Come out. There's gonna be some guys representing with the food.
I'll have some Jamaican food for that matter.
So it's one of the reasons why I agreed to photograph the event was because hey, there's gonna be food. What?
Some food? Okay.
I'll be there.
All right. And of course, Shaw is pulling the plug on community channels like Access Television and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's,
Channel 4 is going to disappear.
Yes. So, which is sad. And what I'm hearing from you and from others, that Access TV may be moving over to the multicultural channel station.
Yes, that is one of the negotiations. I also want to talk to to other things like Joy TV, ZTV mm-hmm. also. I know that they are more Southeast Asian based,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but that's not the only programming that they do.
No.
And they want it, if it's a positive message, they'll sit and talk to you.
Right. I know you and MTS Puppet are trying to get together to do another project. Another TV project?
Yeah. Of course, the Balanced Living, and then there's some other mm-hmm. Some other show ideas.
Yeah.
And I've had a really good conversation with Sav Kaur
okay.
that we interviewed last week about her makeup artistry and things like that. And she wants to do – we want to talk more about doing a it'll be a makeover show,
okay.
but it's not like – oh, we made somebody from frumpy to glamorous. It's going to be how we help them bring out their own sense of style according
mm-hmm.
to what their personality is, so that they shine as a person, beautiful as a person overall,
mm-hmm.
not just the clothes that they're wearing or whatever. It's
mm-hmm.
more deeper than that. So we'll have to see how the talk evolves and things like that.
Sounds
so
great.
Yeah.
Thinking of summer now, we're close to, of course, this is July. Any projects over the summer holidays. I know I'm going to be away for a month in August, so you're going to take over the studios for some of it. And mm-hmm. I know there are some interviews that we've covered on, and I'm hoping, and of course, if you have any other suggestions and comments, you can always email us, communityliving radio@gmail.com. That's our website, communityliving radio@gmail.com, or you can also send our comments to our Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/ C Living Radio. I think that's the full main page. Either one of us will get a hold of you and get a chance to do some interviews, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. So, we got so many more minutes to go. Any other issues you want to talk about? I have very little. I don't know why, but that's the only one I had was on Inclusion BC, the disability pride. So that was my take on that. I haven't heard from anything from TransLink on new bus issues. I know that I know transit services changed. That was on Monday. Of course, Monday, June 26th, which was yesterday, if you were listening to us on CITR program. Some of the changes are coming on were the late-night buses. Now, some of the late-night buses were, there were several of them were going to enhance to the 24-hour service, so it's going to run like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year,
yeah.
on public transit. So that's happening on that. However, three of the selected buses that are operating, which is operating near Fraser Street, is one of them. The other one is on Simon Fraser University, going to Simon SFU. And then the third one was going to, I'm trying to remember, because it was the N6, the N35, and I guess it was the Victoria Drive route. All those three services will be affecting the 24-hour service through there. Sadly, the N17 route that we do, that's coming from UBC, and then the N22 does not do the 24-hour service, which, of course, I do the late-night show Friday night, Saturday mornings, and there are times where I want to get off at maybe 3 o'clock in the morning to finish my late-night show, grab the late-night bus, and head home. That's not the case because most buses around this area, the last bus from UBC leaves around 2:30 in the morning, which is very... I want a half hour extra. I'm not getting it, so it's sad. I'm glad they're doing 24-hour introductions to other buses, but I'm just kind of sad that they're not doing it on the western part of Vancouver. So it's disappointing, but what can you do? Take a cab. Oh well. Anyways.
There are the taxi fares.
There are taxis, yeah, and some of them are pretty expensive when it comes to the cost and everything. So,
yeah.
So, that's my take on the TransLink part of stuff. And I don't even. I mean, they do their quarterly meetings to the public, but I don't know when they do it. Do their quarterly public meetings, but just. You just have to look them up online on TransLink website. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, I mean, the system is improving, but...
Slowly.
I am happy to hear that there's more towards the eastern part of the GVRD.
Right.
Because I live on the eastern part.
Yeah, I know. But you have to look at the big picture of people, where people want to go, that sort of thing. And it just feels sad that not not well, all the, services the, that run out all night. So.
The thing of it is, they're also seeing a lot of growth towards Surrey.
Yes.
So
that's the second biggest city in BC, from what I heard. So
yeah.
Well, anyway,
you do have to equalize things out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
UBC is most students take the bus.
Yes, a lot.
And
of
there, are, I remember when I was in university, sometimes I would not finish
the course,
schoolwork, or whatever, until late at night.
Mm.
So we gotta support the kids that are trying to travel home too, right? Mm-hmm.
Travel home safely too. Yeah. Yes,
because let's face it, when you're walking back along, 16 or something like that, there's not a lot of sidewalk.
No.
Yeah. So.
All right. So. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for Co-op Radio for doing the full hour show, which we are now moved to July 2nd from 10 to 11. And please join us again next week for the full hour. And, of course, we will have this adducted still as our half hour show from somewhere around the NCRE radio networks. Either one of them, please contact us, communityliving.radio@gmail.com, facebook.com/groups/communityliving/cliving radio for that matter. And so please join us next week. Do we have anything that's on next week?
I'm going to follow up with Rebecca Smith and let's see if we can get her on.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us and we'll see you all again next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's get drunk on the minivan.
American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. Can you hear the sounds of hysteria? The subliminal mindfuck America.
Snatches of music, whole orchestras play inside our heads.
And then it explodes into this enormous collage of what this present moment looks like, what it feels like, and what it sounds like.
Rather gruesome, rather wrinkles like a walnut, and with the consistency of mushroom.
Hello, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver at the University of British Columbia. My name is Mia. This show is called Particles and Waves. Normally, we are not in the habit of interrupting really awesome jazz covers of American Idiot, but I unfortunately have a very, very packed show. Well, fortunately. That I'm really, really excited about, and definitely I'm going to be looking that song up, though. So this is an eclectic music program that runs for the next hour. It tends to cover as much Canadiana as I can really fit in, as it turns out, and I've got a bunch of really, really great stuff. Sometimes there's a general theme or tone or specific thing I want to talk about on my show. Other times, it's just a bunch of really good songs, and today is one of those days. So, without much further ado, I would like to talk about White Horse, the band. This is a husband-wife duo. They've been making music for a few years, and it's actually one of the nice examples of when you do radio for a couple of years, you are present in a radio context for multiple album releases from different bands, and White Horse is one of them. I discovered them when I was doing radio. Their previous album was called Leave No Bridge Unburned from 2015, and I really like their sound, and so they've got a new album that is coming out next week, I think, actually. It is called Panther in the Dollhouse, and I want to play the first single that dropped from it, which is called Nighthawks. It's a super, super chill, great song to get us into a bit of a groove. I've got a song by The Pretties after that called Moon Sculpture, and a track that I've been like low-key obsessed with called Pocket Knife by a band called Bronze Radio Return. Because, yeah, I don't know, but it works really well. So, yeah, please enjoy all of that. I've got so much more coming up on this episode of Particles and Waves.